Today, we're going to look at living a life of worship. I love our worship time together. I love planning worship, and I put a lot into it. I want each service to be meaningful for each person here. I want each person to encounter God, the one who welcomes them with wide open arms. And I hope that when you come to worship, each of you are coming expecting to encounter God, to experience God, and you are coming to praise Him for His presence in your life, giving God thanks for His amazing gift of grace. That's what worship is all about. God alone is worthy of being worshiped. He is always doing something for us, in us, and through us. God draws us closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He deepens our understanding and relationship with Christ, and over time, He transforms our lives as we grow as disciples in the image of Christ. From the earliest of days, ancient people have gathered to pray, to sing, to listen to God's word, and the Greek word from which we get the word synagogue means to bring the assembly together. And the Greek word ecclesia, commonly translated as church, means an assembly called out of the world. In worship, we are called from our ordinary life to gather for a sacred time together in a sacred space in order to glorify God. We've been blessed with such a beautiful sanctuary to worship God. But you know, God can be worshiped anywhere, in giant Gothic cathedrals, in simple one-room churches, in blighted storefronts, in hospital chapels, in people's homes, and in the open air under the expanse of heaven. Where we worship the Lord doesn't really matter. It is the attitude of our heart that matters. How we humble ourselves. How we tell God we love God and we need God in our lives. It's the attitude of our hearts as we acknowledge the majesty and the sovereignty of God. And that we know God's unconditional love revealed to us through Jesus Christ. It is the attitude of our hearts as we seek to connect with God and allow God's word to shape us as we in turn offer our response of faith. In Isaiah 29:13, God speaks to Isaiah and says, "These people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." As we come to worship God, we should worship with sincere, authentic worship. Worship that is felt in our hearts. God knows our hearts. God knows when we're just singing along with the crowd, just going through the motions, just going through the ritual, when we're just at church on Sunday because it's what you do on Sunday. God can tell when we don't have any enthusiasm at all. When we don't have any excitement about being here, and when we aren't putting any effort into getting something out of it. Sometimes it seems if sport fans have a better idea about how to put passion into a football game or a basketball game. Just think about it. Even when a team has a losing season, the fans are still there with painted faces and painted chests in the freezing cold, cheering their team on, showing team spirit and fan spirit. They still believe that they're going to pull out a winning season even when they're already down 0-6. They're still cheering, still expecting them to make a good standing, a good showing for the game. And what are the fans going to get out of it? Absolutely nothing. Maybe a fun time. A sore throat from cheering and yelling. A deathly cold or pneumonia. Some may win the office pool, but as far as an eternal benefit, there is none. And if they aren't able to attend the game, you better believe they must be home for the kickoff or tip-off if the game is televised. I've heard some pretty passionate fans cheering from the recliner and the couch on numerous occasions. And even had a few people leave meetings early if there was an important game for them to watch at home. Now, I'm not saying that we need to start standing up and yelling and screaming and shouting to show our passion for God. However, I do think we need to come expecting to meet, to seek, and to see God, because I guarantee you, God is here to be found. Worship should engage our minds as well as our hearts. Through engaging our intellect, we learn about the nature of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and about a plan for our salvation through Jesus Christ. We learn about the content of our faith and the story of Scripture. Worship changes our minds. Through engaging our heart, God reaches down and He touches our personal inner hearts. We feel in the depths of our hearts God's mercy and God's grace for our lives. We experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God touches our hearts through the music, through the word, through prayer, through the sacraments. Worship opens our hearts, and as we give ourselves to God in worship, we hear His practical calling to do something with our faith in our families, in our community, and in the world. To do God's work, to grow in His kingdom and make the world a better place in the name of Jesus Christ. Worship can change our behavior. We talk of passionate worship. That may sound like a funny way to describe it, but it should be passionate. Without passion, worship becomes boring and predictable, keeping the form while lacking the spirit. We should worship with intense emotion, with great enthusiasm and an uncontained excitement. And there are many styles of worship. Some are loud and boisterous, where folks jump around, call out, some wave their hands. Some are calm and quiet, where folks sit and are meditative. Some say little. The style doesn't really matter. Someone sitting quietly may have the same level of passion as those who are up dancing around. Passionate worship is not physical, but it's a state of the heart and of the mind. In passionate worship, we don't just show up and sit passively in the pews. Rather, we should be actively engaged, genuinely connected, personally addressed, and deeply challenged. We expect God to connect with us and speak to us in a meaningful way. The music moves us as we sing together. Prayer lifts us as we pray together. And the message touches us as we listen together. Being together as a Christian community is critically important to our faith. We must worship together in community. In passionate worship, we know something important is taking place, and we want to be part of it. On the rare occasion I miss church, I feel like something really important is missing in my week. Something isn't quite right. We should be so excited that we talk about our worship experience with others and invite others to join us, because we see worship as the most important hour of our week for ourselves and for our church. Sometimes we tend to participate in worship as insiders, but then evaluate it as if we're outsiders, like we're the worship critiques. We evaluate everything according to our own taste. When asked, how was the service? You often hear, well, I didn't like that song we sang in the middle. The prayer was too long. The service lasted too long. And for some reason, she had the announcements at the wrong time today. We tend to forget that in worship, there is an audience of one. And that audience is God. We are here to worship God. So if your time of worshiping God doesn't turn out to be the way you want it to, then you need to put more into it. Let it come from your heart with the guidance of liturgy, the scripture, and the songs that are chosen for that particular day. We are here to offer God our very best. We respond to the scripture and the word and the music as we offer ourselves to God and allow His Spirit to transform us. It is all about God. So ask yourselves, what can I do to make worship more meaningful for me? What can I do to make worship more meaningful for others? And just a side note, if you have ideas that you think would make worship more meaningful for the corporate body, let me know. I'm open for ideas. But we're here to worship and glorify the God who created us, and to give Him praise and thanksgiving for all that He is. Let us stand up together.